You are now listening to a podcast made in collaboration with the Copenhagen College Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to episode 45 of the Social Media and Politics Podcast, bringing you expert insights into how social media is changing the political game. I'm your host, Michael Becetta, political scientist at the University of Copenhagen. You can follow us on Twitter at SMNP Podcast or check out our Facebook page, Social Media and Politics Podcast. All right, y'all. Thanks so much for tuning in. Today, we're going over to Ireland to discuss a referendum coming up on the 25th of May that has to do with the issue of abortion. And specifically, we're going to be looking at the role of targeted Facebook ads during the campaign and a group of volunteers who's trying to increase transparency and openness to the debate by creating a public repository of ads that are being targeted during the referendum. That group is the Transparent Referendum Initiative, started by Liz Carolyn and Craig Dwyer. Craig is going to join us in just a moment to discuss Facebook ad transparency and democracy more broadly. But first, let me give a little background into this referendum to kind of give you a little bit of context as to what's going on. Back in 1983, there was a referendum on whether to enshrine into law the constitutional right of the unborn. So in Ireland, abortion has pretty much always been illegal, but after the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in Roe v. Wade, some groups in Ireland were worried that the Supreme Court of Ireland would take a similar judicial interpretation and started campaigning to prevent that. So a referendum was put to voters back in 1983 to enshrine the right of the unborn into law and prevent any type of judicial interpretation otherwise, except for cases where the woman's life was at risk during pregnancy. And that referendum passed with 66% of the vote, which isn't all that surprising if you consider that about 80% of the Irish population identifies as Roman Catholic, which tends to align with pro-life views, right? So fast forward 25 years, and now there's a referendum to repeal that Eighth Amendment to the Constitution. And although public opinion in Ireland tends to be against abortion still, a poll done by Ipsos back in January found that 56% of respondents are in favor of repealing the Eighth Amendment, and about 29% are opposed. And so that kind of change is attributable to a large number of quote-unquote compromisers who are still against abortion fundamentally, but are willing to make certain exceptions in the case of rape, for example, that would be outlawed according to the current legislation. And according to that poll, about 15% of respondents were undecided. So that's really where the campaigning comes in, where organized groups try to influence public opinion to sway them for or against the repeal of this amendment. And there's been so much controversy recently around the role of social media and targeted advertising in campaigns. And that's where the Transparent Referendum Initiative is trying to collect some of these targeted ads and put them to the public so they can have an informed choice when they go to the ballot box on May 25th. So Liz and Craig partnered up with the UK-based group Who Targets Me, who's been collecting these ads for some time in Britain. And if you want to know more about them, mosey on over to episode 27 of this podcast. But the Transparent Referendum Initiative has taken this technology, is collecting ads, and is putting them out on their webpage, which you can find at tref.ie. And joining me now to tell us more about it is Craig Dwyer. He is the co-founder of the Transparent Referendum Initiative and a digital campaigner and activist. Craig, thanks so much for taking the time out, and welcome to the Social Media and Politics Podcast.
Thanks so much, Michael. Delighted to be a guest on your podcast.
So why don't you go ahead and give us a bit of an overview into the Transparent Referendum Initiative? What exactly is it, and what type of work are you doing around the Irish constitutional referendum?
Sure. So the Transparent Referendum Initiative, it's a volunteer-led civil society initiative, and we're working to highlight and to try and counter the complete lack of transparency around social media advertising and the targeting of voters during political campaigns. So I suppose that was our starting point. Myself and my co-founder, Liz, we came together and we were like, you know, this, especially in relation to referendums and elections around the world, you know, this has become a real topical issue now, and I don't think any country has solved it yet. But we were conscious that we were going to be facing into a referendum on the Eighth Amendment, the abortion referendum that's coming up. So we thought that it was an opportune time to try and have this conversation now in the Irish context and highlight that need for reform and get Irish legislators to really take notice and to highlight that our current electoral laws do not reflect modern day campaigning and advances in technology.
Yeah, and I want to get a little bit more into the specifics of the referendum. But first, can you talk a little bit about the team behind it? So you and Liz, what are your backgrounds?
Yes, Liz is an open data and transparency expert. She's pretty impressive. She's worked on projects around the world in the UK, Kosovo, Tanzania, Mexico. My own background is in digital campaigning. So I worked as the social media director for Yes Equality. So that was during the marriage equality referendum in 2015. So in 3 short years, the landscape has completely shifted. You know, in the aftermath of that referendum, the role that social media played, it was like enabling like democracy, and it was being heralded as really facilitating the offline campaign. And now it's kind of viewed very differently and they're seen as being a threat to that democracy. And I've worked on the Australian marriage equality campaign last year as well. So I've seen how we can use it for political campaigns. And I would say I'm an advocate for it. But when it comes to social media advertising, especially during elections and political campaigns, we've seen how it can be misused. So that's why I love being involved with this initiative, because this is something that I want to fix and let's get it right so we can use social media effectively for campaigning as we move forward.
Yeah, it's interesting how the context has changed, and I want to get into that in a bit. But first, I kind of want to foreground the context of the referendum, because it's something that maybe all our listeners aren't familiar with. So can you kind of give us a little bit of a pretext as to what the referendum is about and kind of what are the issues, who are the major players, et cetera?
Yeah, sure. So we have a constitution here in Ireland, and there is an article in that constitution. So it's Article 43.3 that was introduced by the Eighth Amendment in 1983. And what that does, it gives a right to life of the unborn. And therefore, effectively, it outlaws abortion in almost all circumstances in Ireland. So the only terminations that are permitted is in the cases where there's serious threat to the life of the pregnant woman. So on the 25th of May, voters are going to be asked whether they want to remove that article, Article 40.33, and replace it with a new clause that states that provision may be made by law for the regulation of terminations of pregnancy. So in effect, that the government then can introduce legislation that will provide for terminations. So the Yes side, they're campaigning for the repeal of the Eighth Amendment and to provide for the terminations. And then the No side, they're campaigning to retain the Eighth Amendment to uphold that right to life of the unborn, and in fact, which would see no change to our current restrictive abortion laws.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, I was looking a little bit at, media coverage about it. And I mean, it's such a sensitive issue and a very powerful one, obviously in the States with Roe v. Wade. But I mean, there's, bringing in a lot about, Down syndrome children and right to life and protecting, mother's right to their body and things like that. I mean, it's such a sensitive and human element. I mean, is the campaigning, how is it in terms of the content and the framing of these issues?
Yeah, it seems like we've been talking about this in Ireland for a while now, certainly in the past couple of years. People have been calling for years now to have a referendum to repeal the Eighth Amendment. It's been really, as you say, divisive. It's been emotive. And it's a very complex issue. And I think that that's kind of what we've really seen in the last few months, is that this is not an easy, straightforward yes or no thing. So the debate currently is trying to unpack all of that and really try and understand where people are at and just provide them with all of the necessary information so that they can come to an informed decision. Some of the conversation, it is emotive, and the No side, they're very much looking at that right to life of the unborn and how like pregnancy starts at conception. And yes, they're definitely playing on people's emotions. And the Yes side similarly are looking at the emotive arguments. But their approach is to more look at the reality of the issue. What they're saying is, and like, you know, abortions are taking place every day. I think they have stats that is it 9 women a day travel to the UK and other countries to have abortions. Abortion pills are being accessed online every single day. So, you know, it's not like they're not taking place, but let's regulate it and provide for it so that women have access to healthcare and all of those arguments that come with it, you know. So yeah, they're the kind of the main themes and arguments that we're currently seeing at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And one more question about the politics side before we move into the social media and advertising side, which is, does this issue fall along party lines? I mean, are political parties throwing their weight behind the campaigns?
Both sides of the debate are being led by civil society campaigning groups and kind of like coalitions coming together of different groups on both sides. Some political parties are campaigning for a yes. There's no party that is actively campaigning for a no vote. Some parties are allowing a free vote. So we have individual politicians who have actively said that they are in favor of a yes, or some are in favor of a no. Our Prime Minister, Leo Varadkar, he's publicly called for a yes vote, and our Minister for Health, Simon Harris, who put forward the legislation to allow for the referendum. So he is like, some of those more active politicians have actually joined the campaign trail with the civil society organizations. So rather than the political parties themselves campaigning, what we're seeing is individual politicians from political parties and some political parties like Labour are campaigning or joining the campaign trail.
Interesting, because I'm just wondering if most political parties on one side, then they might have more resources to give to targeted ads, for example, which is what I wanted to ask you about. So you're collecting these targeted sponsored posts that are, you know, largely unseen by the rest of the public, unless you're in the target demographic. Can you talk a little bit about that process in terms of how you're collecting the ads? What technology are you using?
Yeah, so, well, we actually thought about trying to find technology and tools that already existed. And I suppose, thankfully for us, we knew of Who Targets Me. So that had been developed ahead of the 2017 general election in Britain. So we reached out to them, and we're delighted that we have a partnership with them that allows us to gather all of this information about the ads and bring them into the public domain. So how that works is we are encouraging Irish Facebook users to install Who Targets Me on their computer. It's a plugin, so they have to install it on their desktop browsers. And what that does is it scrapes all the metadata related to all of the ads that they're currently being served with in their Facebook feed. We then filter all of those ads and pull out all of the relevant ads to the referendum and put that into a public database that's then available on our website.
Right. And I was reading a bit that it's a bit difficult to discern what's actually a political ad, because you're getting all of the sponsored ads, whether it's from marketing firms or, you know, what have you. And what I thought was interesting was you mentioned that newspapers are actually targeting voters, you know, to promote readership and subscription, not necessarily with a political aim. So can you go into how you make that decision between what is a relevant political ad for your database and what's not?
Yeah, but like that's that question. When is an ad political? Like, that's a really important, fundamental question that goes to the nub of all of this, you know? And I think that's a question that policymakers, legislators, and the platforms themselves are still grappling with as well. You know, it's like social media advertising, it's not a new phenomenon. It's very useful and cost-effective way of promoting, you know, commercial interests. But like, the issue arises when it comes to political ads and when you're targeting people to try and influence how they vote. So if the intent is to influence how a person votes, then I think that's when it becomes political. So to your point there about the ads from the media organizations being included in our database, I think the reason for this is, while we don't know what their intent is, we do know that they're spending money to target Irish Facebook users with content related to the Eighth Amendment. So that's why it's picked up by our filtering system, and therefore, you know, it's included in our database. I just think, you know, that's another reason why it's clear that we need reform, and that includes a definition of what is a political ad.
Yeah, I think it's a question that has kind of been not so reflected on, I guess, in all these conversations, like, you know, regulate political ads, but there's kind of a gray zone as to when an ad is political. I think it's interesting.
Yeah, it is. I know Facebook have announced in the past that they are introducing transparency tools. And actually, we just got news today in Ireland that they're going to introduce this tool from the 25th of April, which will allow Irish Facebook users to view all ads that have been paid for by pages targeting users in this jurisdiction. So that is a welcome development. And, you know, it'll help us to compile our database. And we won't see this in time for our referendum, but they're going to start exploring issue-based campaigns as well. And I think it's going to be very difficult to try and identify. On one hand, when you've got, like, say, an election and you have political parties and candidates, you can clearly create a database of all of the ads that's coming from those pages and accounts. When you go into issue-based kind of ads and you're trying to define what's a political ad, that's when it starts to get a little bit more tricky.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, so we're recording on April 17th, which is a couple of weeks before the referendum vote. Did Facebook mention, do you have any idea how this transparency ad database, I guess, would look? Do you have to be an Irish Facebook user to access them, for example? Did they offer any specifics?
Yes, that was just announced in the last few hours. So we look forward to kind of hearing more detail about what this is going to look like. But from our understanding, that people will be able to, if they're on a Facebook page, any Facebook page, they can go, and if that page is promoting ads, there will be a view ads button where they will be able to go in and see any ads that are being targeted to Facebook users in Ireland.
Mm-hmm. Because I wonder, and I want to talk about your database in a second, because that seems to imply to me that you have to go to the page and see if they're sponsoring ads, which doesn't really help the average user who might not seek out the right types of pages. You know, there might be shadowy pages that are targeting people who the average Irish voter might not think to go look for. So I'm interested to see how they work that connection.
Yeah, exactly. I you're completely right. That's why, you know, it's a welcome step. But what we'll be doing is using this and putting it together with the database of ads that we're compiling to try and build as comprehensive as a picture as we can. But yes, so you have to be on the page to be able to see what ads they're promoting. So it doesn't go the full way. It's not like a comprehensive database that people will be able to access. That's why I think an initiative like ours is still going to be very important over the next kind of coming weeks and beyond.
Definitely. So let's talk about your database. So you have these users who have installed the Who Targets Me tool. About how many users do you have at this point?
We have roughly about 570 people have installed Who Targets Me.
Okay. And you have the database online, openly available at tref.ie, as well as you can actually see the content of some of those ads, which I think is quite cool. And how many ads have you collected so far?
So far, we've identified roughly 250 ads.
Mm-hmm. And even though it's, you know, still 3 or so weeks from the actual vote, can you tell us a little bit about what your kind of general impressions of that data is so far?
Yeah, we've identified roughly about 250 ads at this stage. So we know that this is not conclusive, nor is it representative of the Irish electorate. But so we're actually in a process of working with a research partner from an Irish university to be able to identify what the data can tell us rather than what it can't. So what we can see is examples and kind of trends emerging from within that data. So, for example, we're seeing where money that's being spent anonymously to target Irish voters from pages with no information on their location, their identity, or the intent of the person behind them. We're also seeing organizations outside of Ireland that are paying to target Irish voters and influence how they vote. So under our current electoral legislation, people outside of Ireland, unless they're Irish citizens, they are not allowed to donate to campaigns operating in Ireland. But with social media advertising, those same people, if they're based in any country around the world, can spend any amount of money targeting Irish Facebook users. So that in itself just highlights, you know, an issue of concern and why this needs to be reformed and addressed. And then also, we are also seeing cases where ads contain some misinformation. And the problem is it's being targeted at specific groups of people, and it's generally hidden from the rest of the population. So therefore, like, this information is not open to scrutiny and fact checking in the ways that we would see with like print media, billboards, leaflets, etc.
Right. Yeah. I mean, these ads are still approved by human moderators on Facebook, but those moderators might be outsourced to certain centers in other countries that may not be familiar with the concrete facts of, you know, political issues, and specifically this political issue. So they just kind of approve the ads, and they're not quite fact checked in the way that we might have from a, you know, reputable news organization.
Yes, exactly. And Facebook, they don't get into the business of fact checking that their ads, you know, I think they've said, like, for, you know, reasons for freedom of speech and etc. What we're trying to do is develop partnerships with media organizations here in Ireland so we can send them our database and get them to do some of the fact checking of the information contained in the ads that are being targeted at groups of people.
Yeah, and then I want to touch on the first point you made, which was about not knowing who the sponsors of these ads are. And there was an interesting Medium post that you wrote, and I'll put that in the show notes, where there was an organization called Get Out the Truth. Mm-hmm. And then the way that you can basically see that you don't know who's sponsoring is there's literally no information about who the page is. So when you click about on the page, there's nothing listed other than the Facebook address of that page. And I mean, I think that's just, it was interesting for me to see that visually in one of the images where there's no way to identify who they are. Is it a person, an organization? And yet they can just go ahead and sponsor money and try to influence this the outcome of the vote.
Mm. And it's like, that's not how democracy works, right? You know? Again, like, yeah, what we're seeing is that, like, you know, how the social media platforms operate, the complete lack of any kind of transparency or regulation allows this to happen. And currently, well, especially in the Irish context, you know, we've had discussions with kind of oversight and regulatory bodies here. You know, we've got one called the Standards and Public Office. We've got the Referendum Commission, all of these that look at different aspects. And they all have said to us, well, like, you know, that's not our job. That's not within our remit. We can't look at this. So, you know, it's a real issue here, and it just kind of highlights how this needs to be reformed, because, like, you know, when this can take place and voters can be targeted from people that we don't even know where they're operating from, what their intent is or anything, to try and influence how our constitution, the outcome of a referendum to change our constitution, you know, that's a real issue, you know. So we want to try and encourage everyone to understand that that's currently taking place now. And I think it's really important that we try and address it at this stage so that, you know, on the 26th of May, the day after the referendum, regardless of what the outcome is that we're then not currently grappling with this and seeing, like, you know, what role did Facebook or social media advertising play? So we're trying to encourage all of that conversation to take place now, and highlight to people, like, that this is happening. You are potentially being targeted with information to try and influence how you vote. And in certain cases, it's coming from from pages, and we've no information of who is behind this.
Right, because I think that I think that's a really interesting point, that you don't want people to start questioning the legitimacy of the referendum. And I mean, that's obviously something that's been going on in the States with the election of Donald Trump or Brexit in the UK, where people are thinking, well, if Facebook wasn't around, what would the outcome have been? And that serves to undermine the legitimacy of elections and democracy itself. So.
Yeah, I completely agree. Like, and I just don't want that to be the narrative in the aftermath of this referendum, where we're having that those same types of conversations that we've seen after Brexit, after the election of Donald Trump in the US, you know. So it's just to really encourage, educate people, and so they can become informed of it now. You know, we're fond of our referendums in Ireland, and I think Irish people really take the time to fully inform themselves of the issue before they go to the polls. And I don't think that they want to be targeted with any misinformation or not have a full picture of what the landscape is before making that decision. So it's just to bring all of that out into the open and have both sides of the debate often call for an open, honest, respectful debate. And so I think that's what we really need to do. And in order to do that, we need to increase transparency and bring these dark social media ads out into the open.
Definitely. And, you know, your initiative is focusing heavily on Facebook ads, as is most of the public conversation, especially with the Cambridge Analytica controversy. But I wanted to ask about other platforms as well. I mean, how do you see Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, Reddit, what have you, fitting into this whole debate as well?
Yeah, so there is a couple of reasons why we're focusing our efforts on Facebook. One being that we are working with Who Targets Me, and their tech just allows for us to get all of the data related to Facebook ads. So we're encouraging people, and we're seeing lots of it. People are sending us screen grabs of ads that they're seeing through, like, say, Google's advertising platform on YouTube pre-roll ads. And we're seeing kind of like a high level of those ads, you know. So we're currently trying to use all of this screen grabs to try and build a more accurate picture as well, you know. Yeah, I think it's kind of what we're trying to uncover is whether, like, how much money is being spent. And it's really hard to answer that type of question. But what we're trying to gauge that, okay, so based on the level of ads that are being placed, well, it appears, or we can make a reasonable assumption that large amounts of money are being spent on these platforms, again, targeting voters and trying to influence how they vote. So whilst Facebook is the focus, we definitely are looking at how other platforms are being used as well.
That's super interesting about the screen grabs on, you know, Google, YouTube, which I think have gotten kind of a free pass on a lot of this controversy. And I think some of it has to do with Facebook. It's so easy to create an ad. It really takes no knowledge or skills about digital advertising. You just start a page and then you can target. And the tool, the platform itself, makes it very easy to do that. Whereas if you want to advertise on YouTube, you have to be first developing video content, which is more of a barrier to entry, so to say. So I'm interested to see personally, once you get a lot of these screenshots, whether these ads are more sophisticated because they take more know-how to kind of start them up. Using Google AdWords, developing YouTube content, it's a little bit of a higher threshold than just setting up a Facebook page and going straight to targeting.
Yes, definitely. But at the same time, what we are seeing is that there are numerous of these ads taking place on these platforms. And people are questioning it, like, you know, people don't understand necessarily if they're on a like a news site or an online shopping website, and suddenly they're kind of seeing all this display advertising. So people are trying, they're questioning this. It's like, why am I being targeted with this content when I'm doing my online shopping, for example? So what we're trying to do is just to build a better picture of that, because we are seeing a lot of it taking place. So it's just to, to kind of get a better insight into the strategies behind that and how much money is spent and where it's coming from.
Yeah. And I mean, I can just think of some of the back end ways that marketers or, you know, political actors would do this, which is, you know, if they can look at your credit card history or where you're shopping online, and if they see you're, you know, purchasing baby related products such as diapers or, you know, formulas, then they're going to hit you with ads along a certain side of the referendum. And I think it's a little bit spooky when you start getting to that level of data analytics.
It is. You know, and what we've seen from Facebook now is kind of step towards increasing the transparency. So, like, similarly, we've been calling on the likes of Google and YouTube to introduce similar transparency tools to give us a better sense of this and how their platforms are being used in political campaigns.
Yeah, and that's a nice segue into another initiative you've been working on called For a Change, which is a kind of toolkit for campaigners, activists, and nonprofits to kind of beef up their digital strategies. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So last year, 2017, I was awarded a fellowship from the Social Change Initiative to develop an online resource for campaigning groups, activists, and nonprofit organizations to really get the most out of digital and social media. So this was kind of based on my experience on the Yes Equality referendum campaign here. And then I also had the opportunity to visit, learn from, work with other campaigning groups working on different social change campaigns in different contexts from around the world, and to see how they were using digital and social media in kind of new and innovative ways. So the result of this fellowship then is For a Change. So the website is forachange.org. forachange.org. So on there, it's essentially, yes, it's a toolkit that enables those interested to come on and learn more about how to design and implement effective digital strategies for social change. There's plenty of information within there. I've got an in-depth case study of the Yes Equality campaign, and also my experience on it from other campaigns. So try to make it as practical as possible for people so that they can come on and learn from it in the most useful way possible.
Mm-hmm. Now, Craig, I'm going to throw you a hardball here, which is, if you're developing a toolkit to help nonprofits better campaign, I mean, mm-hmm. and they're using the same type of services that the Transparent Referendum Initiative is trying to bring awareness to, how do you remedy those two, those two notions in terms of democracy, right? Because on the one hand, it's making ads more transparent. On the other hand, it's educating activists how to use these platforms better. I mean, how do you see the whole targeting strategy? If it's for a nonprofit, is it, you know, okay in a democratic context? Do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah. No, I do. And I think, as I kind of mentioned earlier, social media advertising is not a new phenomenon, you know, and it can be a really useful and cost-effective way of growing your reach and acquiring new audiences. But I think the issue comes to during elections and political campaigns when you're trying to influence how a person votes. So I think that's kind of where the clear distinction is for me between, say, during this referendum and just kind of campaigners or nonprofit organizations using it, and, you know, on issues like maybe like immigration or homelessness or those kinds of social change issues.
Yes, I buy it, and I love the initiatives. And Craig, thanks so much for taking the time out. I appreciate it.
No worries. Thank you very much.
I've just been speaking with Craig Dwyer, co-founder of the Transparent Referendum Initiative and For a Change. To find out more about his work, you can go to tref.ie or forachange.org. And that's a wrap for this episode of the Social Media and Politics Podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in, and I hope you enjoyed the show. Coming up in the pipeline, we've got crowdfunding tools for campaigning in the British local elections and spear phishing attacks on social media. So subscribe to get those directly in your feed. And remember, you can always connect with us on Twitter at SMNP Podcast. Check out the Facebook page, Social Media and Politics Podcast. I'm your host, Michael Becetta, signing off from Chapel Hill. See you next time.